things. I looked and there were ropes. Oh.
Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
That's why I don't do much work in Columbus because of that.
There's a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I can send my guy, but I'll
hold that for a second.
All right.
This is basically what I talked about.
See, at 12:04, I'd like to call this Utilities Committee meeting to order. Kathy, could I have a roll?
Hicken?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Walter?
Here.
Before anything else, I'd like to entertain a motion from one of the committee members that we allow Mr. Watkins and Ms. Clement to participate in.
So moved.
One second.
Could I have a vote on that?
Hicken?
Yes.
Fox?
Yep.
Walter?
Yes.
And then we move on. We start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think everybody does, but everybody knows each other. Just other than that, I think we, at least in the agenda that I've got, in a brief discussion with Tommy yesterday, I think we're going to start in with Mr. Walker to shoot it out. I think this we're going to run this pretty informal.
Okay, good. I don't know. Do we have any room on a table? Maybe just put a map on so we have at least a reference point when we talk. And I appreciate you guys giving us this opportunity to speak our viewpoint and how we would look at it. The intent of this, I realize there's a counteroffer of $1.2 million back to the district, which I believe in my mind that the district needs to understand another way of justifying that $1.2 million. And that's why I want to kind of talk this out, that the district's got to realize back in 2005, I think I attached this with the agenda, that Connie was successful with a previous zoning of this same property to the township for a PUD zoning for 181 lots, okay? So in my mind, when the district was, when this water and sewer district was formed, they had this in mind, 181 lots. Okay, so I think the negotiation should be reflected upon that. The way I look at it and the way Connie looks at it, the way Bill looks at it, that we were hired to bring value, okay, to the city of Pataskala with a better land plan of about additional 62 more lots for a total of 243 lots. So the negotiations, I feel that it should not be based on 243 lots. It should be based on 181 lots, okay? So with that in mind, that's why I want to, you know, that's the I would say the nexus of that they have to understand this.
In other words, they would not, but for us being annexed, they would only be dealing with us on 181 lots. Now that they have to deal with us, they get the privilege of having 60-some more lots. They need to take that into consideration.
Right. And in addition, with their in consideration is how were they getting the water and how were they getting the sewer to this property? I do have attached to this agenda that I got from Don Rector on our last May meeting, this probable of construction cost back in March of 2005 of bringing a 12-inch waterline extension, okay, from the Hidley Mills tank, okay, northward, okay, on 310 in order to serve this site, okay. That ranges a cost of around $714,000. Okay.
And that was in 2005.
Now, the only thing I don't know, guys, and I need for you to research this, to be honest, is that was there any city commitments, any cost participation, any agreement, okay, with you and the district on that extension to that water line, okay? I'm making an assumption there wasn't, okay? They can argue about that. You guys can argue about that. But my analysis is based on upon, hey, there wasn't really an ironclad agreement that you really had to participate with that extension. Okay, So what I did was I subtract out that $714,000. Let me back up a little bit. If you look at the district's gross revenues on 181 lots with their tapping fees, water and sewer, of about over $12,000, close to $13,000, you're almost at $2.5 million in gross revenue. But the way I look at it, and the way Bill looks at it, and like Connie looks at it, you have to subtract out that extension, that infrastructure improvement, okay, to our site. So we're down to, the way I look at it, is a net revenue of about $1.8 million. Now, going through the spirit of the negotiation, if they want to have a true 50% split on that revenue, it should be based on that net income of $1.8 million. So if you take 50% of that, you're down to a low benchmark, I would say about $940,000, okay? Now, you could compare that, okay, to the current counteroffer of 1.2. They have to visualize that, okay? Now, in the way we look at it, okay, to try to keep this clean and simple, all right, in the negotiation, now, we're not privy because it's between you and the district as far as the counteroffer, but if you make this simple and say, okay, if you take our 243 lots, all right, at the city's rate, water and sewer, 8,820, that's over 2.1 million. If you cut that in half, right there, you're there, about $1.1 million, okay? So I don't know how far they recognize this, okay, but I think this is a fair approach. To expand on Don Director's offer as far as expanding any water service, okay, all the way up to Scotland Ridge, to me, that's not fair. That's not fair game, okay. In my mind, that's not fair game to play, because that's going to be stretching out the city's resources of serving that area with water, okay. Now, on another fact, okay, when I negotiate with people. When you take away something, because they want that, they want you guys to service that area, Scotland Ridge, anything south of that, in that blue area that Don had outlined. If you take that away, okay, and this is how I look at it, you have to meet them halfway, okay. And this is what I suggest is, and we probably have to look at this a little closer, Nathan and Alan, from an engineering perspective. See this red area right here? That is about 190 acres, okay? But we got a 12-inch pipe. Now, that 12-inch pipe can take that capacity, all right? So I would say if you got the 12-inch, you got the capacity. The only thing that we really need to figure out is can your wastewater treatment plant handle it, all right? Is there a choke point downstream of this 12-inch? I don't know, okay? I don't know. But I'm suggesting that if they realize that this is off the table, okay, anything water extensions, you know, in this blue mm-hmm. area, but we will meet them halfway to provide the sanitary sewer, okay, in this area. I think if they would see light on that, yeah, I don't know what kind of infrastructure improvements. I don't want to overcommit,
right,
and say this. But my gut says if you got a 12-inch. There's got to be bigger sewer downstream of that 12-inch that can handle it, all right? Someone had a look at this before, all right? Now, I looked at the sanitary plans for this area here, and the rule of thumb is when you design a 12-inch stub, there's a tributary area. I couldn't get my arms around that tributary map, okay, that justify that 12-inch pipe. So, that's my approach, or how we would look at it in the negotiating. But it's that the fact that the district's got to realize that this $3 million in fees with another total of 500 lots, that's not going to work. Okay, but we could probably meet you halfway. But we can't work with you on the water, but we probably can work with you on the sanitary.
Hey Jim, can I see that smaller map?
Yeah.
The other thing that plays well into this original thing is just regarding the Fan and Deagle property is this million that they would be getting in the split also means they don't have to pay any of the costs that they're paying now to go how many miles to get to the site. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge number that they can put elsewhere.
Correct. Now, with an added, another thing we don't really know is the infrastructure for the sanitary. We're all about water right now. We're worried about water. Look what they have to do as far as the infrastructure for the sanitary sewer. That would be stretching them out thinner.
Not only that, would require how many pump stations?
Right. So I didn't even add that in the analysis. So they have to open their eyes and see this, that we're trying to be fair. Yes, the city will work with us to a degree, but we're not going to, you know, we're not going to open up the whole county to bring them water, but we'll work with them on the sanitary portion of it. So
essentially what you're saying, Jim, is what we're looking at, bottom line, is 50% revenue sharing of the $2.1 million.
Right.
With them, for the Fan and the Deagle property. So each side would walk away with a little over $1 million.
Yeah.
And then the city, of course, would take everything after that.
Sure.
Right.
And then...
And this is at no cost to the city, because obviously we're bringing the line in. All you have to provide is...
Sure. And then... doing some sort of agreement for servicing these other areas up there, a cooperative agreement.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
So. Well, I don't think that's what we're talking about doing, because that doesn't have those fees. Those fees aren't in this. This is only for the 243 lots.
Yes.
The only question I have is, in separating out between water and sewer, the rates for the water versus the rates versus the sewer, I don't want to have apples and oranges here. Mm-hmm. If the sewer was supplied by the city, what are the sewer rates versus what are the sewer and water rates together?
Yeah, I had that written down. Anything on
the way you have this, you have it sewer and water.
Right, but we're kind of.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Their sewer
is $7,000.
Theirs for
well,
theirs.
I was,
theirs.
Nate, I was asking for us.
Yeah.
If we were to do that, because it was going to change your equation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know by how much, but it'll. If we only do the, if they have to bring the water, then they should get those capacity fees and those rates.
Right.
If we're doing the sewer, if that was the case,
we
would only do that and share only those.
The 50%
fees
of that, right.
If we were to do a share of any kind.
But then again, you would have to net out, you know,
their costs.
Their costs of, you know, right.
So there may be a discussion where
blue area?
There is no
the blue and the red area here. He's saying what Beanie's saying is if they decided to bring the water to us. All right.
And why would they even do that?
If they did.
In my mind,
water's cheaper than sewer for them.
They want to expand their water lines anyway.
Yeah, the water is definitely less infrastructure.
They're just using you as a reason.
So
sewer tap fee in town, $4,725.
So it's happening. So again, it'd be 25% of you would be a 50% or 25% of the number you came up with.
Yeah.
So it'd be a $500,000 number rather than a $1 million number.
Right.
But I'm not in favor of guaranteeing them anything outside the city of Pataskwa. I don't even want to let them in the city of Pataskwa.
You guaranteeing that we'll service other areas?
Service other
beyond Fan and Indy.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we already do.
Yes.
We do a few places. That was done many, many years ago.
Yeah, we do.
Many, 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 many years ago.
Scotland and Highland were before the 2004 agreement.
Right.
So I don't think that they...
And so was...
Beechwood Trails.
And I'm not sure there's any place else that I know of.
Do you know of any other areas? I know this also goes to the fact that you know, if water was supplied to this area, we would have to do some improvements to the system, water-wise. Do you know of anything sanitary-wise? If this area was included into the capacity and the 12 inches adequate to service it, is there anything, any bottlenecks, or as Jim had mentioned, any flow issues downstream that we would have to then look at?
Not on that portion, because with that system that you could connect to near Fannin and Deagle, goes towards Kroger, and it even goes up to an 18 inch as it gets closer to Kroger, and then up to, I believe, close to a 24 going down Oxford. So they did, somebody did their homework then when it came to this, that part. That's one of the newer trunk lines in town, so.
So essentially the path is wide open for
us. Yeah, there's no restrictions on that. Now, if you go down Township Road, you would have trouble, but this kind of goes towards Kroger's, works its way down Oxford Way.
I guess my question is, and it's directly to you, Connie, how does this involve the city whatsoever? The way I see it right now is we've got a magistrate, was it, or who was it that told
us? The arbitrators.
The arbitrator told us that we can't service it, that it's got to be serviced by them. Wouldn't it behoove you guys just to go back to the arbitrator, your group to go back as a property owner?
The attorneys involved, including your attorney, Frank Green, mm-hmm. everybody has agreed that if the two parties agree, you can do something separate.
Oh, I agree. I agree if we do that. But wouldn't it be simpler just to say the best for my client, and this is just my opinion, the best for my client is that the city services this mm-hmm. and go back to the arbitrator and say this is going to dearly cost my client any way we do it unless the city services it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the cheapest, straightest route is for the city to service it. And it was that arbitrator that decided they had the choice or they had the opportunity to service it. Why wouldn't it be just a matter of going back to court and saying?
Because I had faith after that arbitration mm-hmm. that after the many discussions, and I discussed this briefly, I think, with you yesterday on the phone, mm-hmm. that common sense would rule. That when we met in the room, the few of us in Bobby O'Keefe's office with Southwest Licking, Don Rector, and all those people, BJ, that you were there, it seemed like it was there would be a very simple solution to this, which would be a lot better than going through the courts and the time it takes. And we thought it would be a quicker, easier route. When I saw the offer that the city had sent to Southwest Licking, I called Frank right away and said, "Well, there's a flaw in it. I wish you wouldn't have put that Fanandigo is going to pay Southwest Licking tap fees because the pre-annexation agreement says we get to pay in town. So even if Southwest Licking would have agreed to it, my clients would still say no because they can't sell this property to somebody and add $1 million to the tap fees." Because it's in the city. He goes, "Well, you know, this was our first jab." Well, of course, they came back and said no anyway. But that's when I thought, oh, gosh, here we go again. But we came back at the last council meeting and requested this because we thought it was worth one more try, maybe with us being the in-between.
Yeah.
That's what we thought.
Right. And it's my understanding, too, that Frank Reese said then we would have to go back to the city to renegotiate those fees, get it back to
He had a whole strategy of going back and forth.
See,
which
that's
a lot of
another
time
step. That's another time
so
step.
So what's the difference in fees if the city picked up the tap fee difference between what we said they were going to charge? We were going to charge.
Their tap fees are how much here? $12,000, almost $13,000, and yours are only $8,000.
That was the 1.2.
So about $4,000.
It's
1.
The
2,
difference is
1.2.
Yeah, 1.2.
Yeah, that's where we came. You're right.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and see, my client can't pass that through to a buyer. They won't buy it because they're going to say that's $1.2 million more money to infrastructure, and we can't afford that.
So if we look at this, Jim, if you don't mind me going back to this real quick, if you say, let's see, I'm going to assume the district's fees are split equally, water and sewer. Whatever, they're looking at almost $1.6 million in fees on a 243 lot issue.
Yeah, about right, 1.5.
So if you take off the 62 lots off of that, it's going to be 900. Which is going to be whatever. It's going to it's
973.
Yeah, I think that's what it came out to. So 181 times their half is 6,500. Is 1.176. So, and they've got 714. I'm going to say it's a little bit more than that, but let's just say it's 714 for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a choice of basically making $400,000 under the 181 unit situation, take sanitary off the table, or they have a choice of making almost $1.6 million at the 243. I'm just trying to figure out some different arguments to be had with it.
And once again, taking into consideration the cost of their infrastructure, too.
Right.
For the water line. Sanitary, I think is, personally, I think if you get done looking at the sanitary, it's cost prohibitive to even service this. So there's, which is another step in the discussion, is maybe the city turns around and says, we gave them an offer, we're willing to listen to anything they have to say other than $3 million. Mm-hmm. If they're willing to come to the table, fine. Otherwise, they can service you guys.
Yeah.
Once they do the math, I think once Jim would do the math, he'd show them that all the fees they can possibly collect in this area will not pay for the infrastructure that they're going
to
install.
That's exactly what we want them to understand.
Yeah, right.
I can't imagine that they don't understand this, but I don't know.
Yeah. I think we couldn't either.
I think it's pretty obvious what that they're staring at.
I guess some questions that I had already been asked. One of the questions I have is more functional, and that's, we've talked about you guys, you offering to be an intermediary. One concern that I have about that is, obviously, when you're doing that, you're zealously representing your client.
Exactly.
You're not representing the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not a deal breaker necessarily. I just, that's a concern that I would voice. I don't know that I would say.
Then I would say you don't define us as an intermediary. We basically are people that come to the city, discuss these facts, and would like to share the same facts with Southwest Licking.
And so, however you call it, I think they'll recognize it as to what it is. But I understand that. The other side is, how much have you had discussions with them?
I've had lots.
So they're.
But I have not since we put this together.
Right.
I basically, since we've talked at the council meeting and requested to be here, I've been very clean and have not. I wanted to talk with you about this first. Because obviously there's no deal if you guys don't agree to this or think this our strategy is okay. There's no reason to go.
All I need to see is the bottom line. What's it going to cost us?
Well, I think the strategy actually makes this a little bit easier of a discussion because you're really talking about sewer only. You're talking about $1.1 million in fees that the city would collect, and then after that, the water is really I think you could break this up and say, well, we've got sanitary. We can deal with that number, and if there's a negotiation with that number based on what improvements have to be made, if there's anything at the plant that has to be done, you can really break that down and say, we know we have these costs.
Yeah.
We can specifically identify. And then the water really is off the table at that point. They get to deal with the water and however they wish to do that.
Yeah.
And it actually helps them because I don't think this is a bad strategy. It helps them because the sanitary is their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Water is not really that big a deal. I mean, they'll break even at least. With 243 lots.
2 years.
And that's a point that you're going to have to make, Connie, is that
243
lots, you guys make out. You guys are able to do this. Mm-hmm. At 181, it's scary. You're close. You're real close to not breaking even. So, the only other issue I would say is, one question I would have for you is, if we were in control of essentially the sanitary destiny, those fees would be such that they'd be under the city fees.
Mm-hmm.
The water would be their fees and their deal. And I don't. How do you guys get that to Bill and to the others and say that to them? I mean, I think we're all going to have to meet kind
of. You know what? How do I get any of this to them?
Right.
The last
We're all going to have to. There's going to be some parts to this that everybody kind of works
to
get it done.
Yeah.
And it may be that the water fees aren't in our control and they aren't city water fees. They're district water fees.
So
because we have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, I'm throwing that out there. You don't need to answer it, obviously.
Yeah.
I want to point it out.
Yeah.
So you're thinking district water, city sewer.
Well, I got one other question. Is that done anywhere else? Do we have district water?
Yeah.
And Beechwood Trails.
Well, it's flipped.
It's flipped.
That's what I'm asking.
Everywhere it's shared, we provide the water. They provide the sewer. So we don't have any instance where we do the sewer and they do the water.
So my question really was going to be, how do we handle the fees when that happens? because it doesn't really matter to me whether it's sanitary or
outside,
water.
It was all outside the city, and other than the very early stuff that happened, our infrastructure was with Beechwood Trails, and they pay an outside fee.
Yeah, it's outside rate.
Well, outside rate.
How about the first phase of Scotland Ridge? That's water, city, right?
City water.
And
district sewer. And I would bring up, if they go that route to take water down to Fannin and Deagle, there needs to be consideration for them to pick up Scotland Ridge and Highland. It's out of the city. So if they're going to come down 310, does it make a whole lot of sense to have two water mains along 310?
Kind of reverse. You guys take the blue.
Well, right.
So that's the first thing they offer.
It just is a logistic point going forward. If that is their intent.
Which makes more sense for both systems then, too. Yeah.
And Scotland Ridge Phase 2 is looking to start cooking again. And, you know.
Are they designing the water line now for Phase 2 of Scotland
Ridge? Yeah, but it's kind of in limbo now because of this, too. Yeah. There was a suggestion that, of course, Phase 1 was done before the agreement was created. And what the developer, you know, wanted to go on with the agreement to do a master meter. He provided that. Well, the guys at the district, that was Lee's first day on the job. And we're not really interested in that. So you guys tell us. So I left it in their court. If you guys want to do something differently, you guys make the call. Until then, we'll wait to hear from you. Because that was part of this, that they have a right to serve that. Absolutely you do. Yeah. It's in your service area. Where's your water line?
Right.
It's the same thing with Fannin.
Yeah.
So you tell us.
They're up against the wall wanting to move forward with the development, but they don't have the water line, which sounds.
Right.
And Jim, I don't know if it makes sense or not, but as part of this discussion, is there any benefit in updating these costs from the 714?
It could, yeah. I mean they're talking about
it's 11 years old.
12, yeah.
I've got to assume they're
yeah.
A little more.
Yeah.
Now,
keep in mind, this was working coming off the Headley's Mill, so this is just for argument's sake.
Understood.
This will never happen.
No, it'll never happen, no. But I think as part of the argument, though, that if we were to do this, you know, just talking current numbers.
Yeah, add another 10%.
It would work if you put like a 275-foot water tower up on the hill.
Yeah.
You're going to double your water line. Your water line's $110 a foot. So that you just added $400,000 to it.
I don't know what the prices are, but I assume they are more.
It's almost triple the distance, right?
Well, again, if we're only saying this for argument's sake that it's coming out of these linear footages, your 12-inch water lines aren't $60 a foot anymore.
Yeah. And what's going to slow up the process of getting easements on the district? It's a slow process. Interesting. On Scotland Ridge, is there any time commitments that the district's got to serve that phase two?
No, in that meeting that we had, basically they showed up and said, well, we want to do this, and you know, obviously the district had their opinion. We'll wait to hear from you. You've told us that you want to service that. We're going to recoil until you tell us what you want us to do. And we left it in their hands. That we're happy to do it, but if it's something that you want to look at as part of running a water line down 310.
Would it help? This is a suggestion. Would it help to keep the developer for Section 2 to put pressure on the district?
Oh, sure, it would help. Any pressure is going to help. Do you have
the bigger the landslide?
I think it's Homewood. Is it Homewood?
I thought it was Ryan Holmes.
It's Ryan. I know.
I think
that.
Homewood's selling lots.
Maybe
Sorry
that's
Ryan,
what it
yeah.
is.
I think they own
Ryan
the
has
the
a front person that goes
selling.
In.
But
so maybe part of the strategy.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I don't want to go down too big a rabbit hole here, but I do want to ask the 181 to 243. How are we now
talking about
240?
That's the best.
That's the annexation.
Yeah, we brought value. We rezoned this to the city for 243.
After we were
but it's not zoned for 243
yes.
because
yes,
isn't
it
in a PDD? We don't know how many houses are going to be there.
No, we had a maximum.
There's a maximum number. You could do less than that if you chose.
We did it as a cluster design.
But the
but we had to provide you with at least 181, and because of that. Correct. That was how the zoning was decided. in the city.
Actually, what we did is...
Because we couldn't make a new zoning classification. We had
right.
to go
yeah,
with...
Yeah, we asked to rezone it, of course, and when we were annexed. Mm-hmm. And under the cluster design, we actually preserved more land and made better lots. So we have a lot more green space, everything, besides a lot of other things.
I'm speaking only for myself, but Connie, as you can tell, we're not against working with the district to get this resolved. Mm-hmm. It's just an ultimatum of $3 million isn't going to work. Yeah. I mean, that's just bottom line. I mean, we could turn around and just say no to that. Also,
right.
You know, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess best I could hope would be Nate. You know, if you look at the sewer, I think that's a decent strategy.
Right.
I don't know that you're going to get anywhere with the district because. We didn't get anywhere with the district.
Yeah.
And after mentioning that, I think, limiting growth factor one would be this terminates at the Brightwater's East Side Lift Station, 30-inch there. It's currently a duplex pump system. So you may be looking about, you know, what the capacity of that is, you know, for additional growth without maybe adding another. That right off the bat would be the only thing that pops in my head right.
Didn't you have something that you showed us not terribly long ago with improvements that
it's in the budget.
We're going to happen as part of that.
This would be something to consider for the future with growth. I mean, it's a non-funded project, but it's been slipped in.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you guys going to be meeting with the district, they have to realize that they're saving money by you accepting this sewer area infrastructure cost.
I mean, I don't believe that we're meeting with the district.
Yeah, Jim,
we don't have anything scheduled
to meet with
them.
No.
Okay.
There hasn't been any discussion.
Gotcha.
But I anticipate happening is, if you guys haven't already, scheduling a meeting with the district to go talk to them and, you know, see what they feel about it. I think that has to be the next step.
I guess what Tim was saying was, instead of being intermediaries, I think you guys are going to really have to feel out the strategy and feel out what avenue might be an avenue they're willing to do. Because mm-hmm. we certainly have no idea what, other than paying $3 million,
we have no idea what they want to do. I guess for me, it's just actually having the discussion and being totally clean like we are here. I mean, the reality is that there is a chance for them to not spend any money on infrastructure to get to this site in a hurry, which they're supposed to be doing.
Getting $1 million.
And getting some money.
Yeah.
And why not take that? Why
you're saying if
money?
We do both water and sewer.
If you do both water and sewer, right.
Versus
or
just the sewer.
Paying half and whatever, but still coming out positive.
Yeah.
And if they sit there and say they're just not going to deal or whatever, then we go to the courts and we start trying to see what we can do. I mean, that's the ultimate.
A six-year project and
I mean,
someone came to me,
after six years,
you're going to make $1 million? I'll do it.
The $1 million that keeps getting thrown around is it would have to be an agreement with the city to give part of their tax fees.
That would be with us providing both water and sewer there, and that $1 million would be what we would agree to share with them. It would take the place of the $3 million, $1.2 million, whatever offers have been made.
But that's also the difference in what the sewer and water district rates are and what our rates are. And we've already promised this development, we're only charging them our rates. So we're actually coming up with $1.2 million.
That's correct.
Cash.
Yeah.
Well, or you can look at it as, well, or you're looking at it as you're splitting. What Jim has pointed out is you're splitting essentially the revenue. You're going to split the,
it's a pass-through.
At the city's rates, you're splitting splitting everything.
Yeah.
It's a 50-50 thing.
We're sharing a portion
within
a few
hundred thousand dollars.
And let me interrupt. I just realized that I also include their capacity.
Yes.
$1,390. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess the point is it's money coming in. It's not the city having to come up with money.
That's what I was pointing out.
Yeah.
It's really splitting the fees. That's what
and
it comes
really,
out to.
Unless there's upgrades to your system, there's no cost to get your system. Your pipes
correct.
There,
well,
so.
Connie, the one thing
there
would be
is
that there is there upgrades to the water without question.
Yeah.
So there is. That's why I kind of focused in on maybe the sanitary is a bad thing because there's some room there to talk about. There's some room there about fees because we don't have as many upgrades and things that we have to do. But with water, there's absolutely. Some major
so much
upgrades.
So that the previous discussion about going north to continue to add stress on the station that will provide this area and provides, am I correct, north,
You know, that's a pump station that was designed to just feed
Beechwood. Yeah.
Right.
And now it feeds everything behind Kroger, Beechwood Trails, and so.
Jim swears all that. I mean, he's looked at that to know what all kind of improvements. And I mean, it's nearly $3 million worth of improvements when you sit with everything said and done, all three phases.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We can stage it, do it smartly, but they'll have to have. They're going through some growing pains.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the district doesn't know that. So this is an opportunity for maybe for your group to get information out there that is. Can help this discussion move forward because we're not talking with them about that.
As from a I'd always looked whether it's the district wanting to serve as a place as to what the most common sense of is. I mean, we're a golf drive away, right? Water there. It's the impediment that has been put in place of the arbitrator saying, making their decision and then saying, but by the way, you guys who don't have water going into this location are allowed to serve it. The common sense need would be to say, hey, you've got water right here. It makes more sense for you to do that. And I would hope in the future that as the two entities grow and commingle and have to deal with each other, that approach would be taken. Meaning, you guys are here, we're back here. That looks like something.
We always wanted that in the original agreement. I fought hard back in 2004 to put that in the original agreement, that whoever could best service it. But
it's the best way to do it. I mean,
I also want to ask because realized an interesting part of our conversation yesterday, and the frustrating part, probably throughout this whole thing, and probably for both sides, if you want to call it that, is you get started rolling on an idea that you think might work, but you're also beholden, as we are, for other people to make a decision, and then. Preface that, I put that in there because my next question is, okay, if the district just said, you're right, we can't service this, give it water. In the city now, give it water. No, there's no anger over it, there's no, but you got, then we would not be sharing anything with them. $1 million that we talk about would come to us because that's.
And they also have to understand that common sense may dictate that to the arbitrator. If it ultimately gets back to that, where they may very well say, well, you guys either service it or get off the pot. Mm-hmm. And if you can't service it, then Pataskala can service it.
And
if you can service it, then you can.
And I don't say that to say that my position is only we're the best thing for we serve this easily, we should give you nothing. But ultimately, as the entire body, we'll have to make a determination as hey, is this something we're willing to do? Mm-hmm. Is this something, and I know you know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of oddities about this whole thing. I mean, compared to common sense, I was saying yesterday, in the frustration my clients feel because they're not privy to, and they're not in all these discussions, is it's almost like if I called all of your residents, you today, and told you you live in Pataskala, and I'm sorry, but an arbitrator has just told all of you that you don't get to have water and sewer anymore, even though you're connected. And you're going to have to figure out how you're going to get it to your houses.
From a different provider.
Would come to council and say, wait a minute, what are we going to do? And I'm sorry, our hands are tied. The arbitrator said we can't give it to you anymore, Tim. Even though you live in Pataskala and you've been annexed. You're
it would be maddening, but you also realize that happens in half our city.
Yeah, I understand. Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But it would be mad.
But, I mean, especially if you had it or if you were promised it, you were told and you relied on it. I mean, all of those things are so frustrating, especially when the water line's sitting right there.
That is.
It's a deep sewer line.
Well, in
real deep sewer line.
No. Common sense has not come into this at all.
No, there has been none. No.
None.
So trying to put that aside and say, okay, how are we going to work this out? But, I think in good faith, my clients have somehow stayed in the game and didn't direct us to try to do anything, you know, litigation-wise or anything. They said keep trying to work this out. So.
I think Lee owes you one, so he owes you a solid. So.
Yeah.
Maybe you can sweet talk him into something.
Yeah. Seek some common ground here.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's not just common ground, but their trustees will figure out that breaking even is not the best thing for their district.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So yeah, I think Jim has put together
really
a good strategy.
Point out to them.
Yeah.
Like I said, right. Nate and Alan, if you guys can work together and kind of figure out any bottlenecks downstream, you know,
send
I don't want to overcommit.
I can send you some drawings.
Overcommit on things.
And I would ask, I don't remember, probably the best person that might know would be, I don't think that, or maybe in Kathy, that there is ever any type of hard agreement. You guys may already know.
That would be tricky.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anything.
It wouldn't work without a booster station, and I think that's maybe why it wasn't looked at part of the interconnect real hard.
You would think if the district has a sewer and water agreement, there's got to be some time frame. A committee.
Well, there was.
That
was a result of the arbitration that the window passed. So
for the interconnect
that would have opened the door for this. But the time frame, what was it?
See, that was something
05.
We brought up in early 2000 or before I got on council, maybe 99. We brought that up at planning and zoning in the city. The sewer and water district could walk in, and we had a requirement that it had to have sewer and water available to it. And when I first got on there, the sewer and water district letters that came saying that they could provide it always said we should be able to provide it. And I read should, and I thought should. So I asked what should meant. And that's when everybody realized that they didn't have any capacity to provide any of this stuff out on the western side of the city. That's why they got into debt $70 million, because all they did was make promises, mm-hmm. and then they had to come back afterwards to catch up mm-hmm. by running double and triple lines up mm-hmm. and down the street and putting pump stations in. And that's where the debt came from, because development did occur, and they were making promises that they could. So that's when we slowed it down, the growth on the western part of the city. But by then, the damage had been done to 2,900 lots already approved.
You guys need more time to think about this strategy, because I'm ready to make a phone call. I mean, I'm waiting for you guys from the sanitary perspective. But
I'll send you something today, but I can tell you I'm not concerned about that. The only one would be limiting factor at the pump station. Flow-wise, if you're talking 230-some homes, doing the calculation, 67 gallon per day per person, that puts us maybe into 50,000 max.
Jim, on your phone calls you're making, you know, I think my suggestion would be, and you can do it however you wish, but my suggestion would be to point out to them that with water and sewer, they either break even or lose.
Mm-hmm.
With water alone, they break even.
300,000.
With sewer, they lose enormously.
Yeah.
Those are the things that we could point out to them, or that would be helpful to point out to them.
Yeah.
I like the whole thing with the 181 versus the
243.
If they think that there's an option for you guys to de-annex, it's going to go back to the 181. It's not going to be 243.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you guys need to think. They need to think about that. I think that's a really great point that I don't know that anybody thought about. And then lastly, the question would be, well, are you guys willing to take the worst case off of your plate, which would be the sewer, and deal only with the water? You guys deal with the water, let the city deal with the sewer. I think those would be the steps I would use in making that call.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but that's how I would do it.
I don't disagree with any of that, although I don't know if that. But I agree.
Cracks the door.
Yeah.
And anything that does that opens it towards possibly.
There are 6119, right? District.
Oh yeah.
Is that considered a like a private entity?
No,
they're public.
So yeah, they can. They need to share infrastructure costs. They should give that to the public. That public knowledge.
They provide that.
Yeah, they wouldn't hold that back because I think about asking. I want to see your costs.
Oh yeah, no,
the
they have to.
Yeah, they have to provide it.
Yeah.
And think of the citizens that live there. I mean.
You're right.
So
I mean,
right,
we
have a right of eminent domain and all that.
So. Okay, now, Bill wanted me to make sure we still have to work on easements, waterline easements, guys. So I don't know how far we got with that. I know we started and we got it cooled off. And any work with Scott?
No.
Mr. Scott Walker? Like
no. We've got the sanitary one. We talked about the storm one. He's still over that con span.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's going to hold that over our head, we'll deal with that.
And we kind of cooled off with this being unknown if we would even be doing it, you know, if there was even going to be a need for water.
Well, relaying the message.
No, that's very good. I don't want to secure an easement and end up us not having to need it.
I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just walk back and forth on it, you know. green space. This is us. What?
Okay, I think the strategy. We'll talk. I picked up some things in this meeting. Very helpful.
I think your next step is a phone call to the district.
Okay.
Good work.
All right. Thank you.
All
thank
right.
you.
Anything else?
One other thing,
but it won't involve these guys.
Nope. They can go.
Thank you so much for your
appreciate
time.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Yeah. Way to think out of the box, Jimmy.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying, guys. I'm trying.
There's things that happen when you don't have your gun. I'm just telling you. You gotta get that stuff straightened around here, man.
I must own a ammo shop.
I must own a gun store, huh?
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you, Connie.
Bye-bye.
No, I'm all right. The other item was not specifically listed, but in a discussion that I had with Mr. Cooley, this seemed like an appropriate thing for it, and since we have a couple of minutes, I thought maybe he would talk a little bit about, for information purposes, more than anything else, jump in here anytime you guys want, the meter, the way the...
It's
on there.
I have a quote for a flow meter, 8-inch flow meter system for water plant one that I'd like to get on the council agenda. What we have... Well, let me backtrack. At Water Plant 1, our quote-unquote effluent meter is before the clear well. So what happens at the plant, the water's produced. It's pumped into a 200,000-gallon clear well. At the clear well, there's high service pumps that are set on set points with the towers. At certain point, they kick on based on demand. So what we're metering and monitoring is the water that goes into the clear well, not necessarily what's leaving. So a part of the 2016 process of continuing with meter upgrades and working on my water loss percentage, this meter, where it's located at the water plant, is not accurately tracking the water that's leaving the plant. So the example that I will give, well, we were going to look at an option to put in a mag meter, go down in the ground, grab the pipe that's leaving the plant, going out in the system, put in a mag meter, put in a vault, run electric to it, blah, blah, blah. About a $22,000 purchase. Went to workshop, and they have these ultrasonic options that are strapped around the pipe that we can get for a cost of $12,600. It comes with the monitoring equipment and the ability to hook it up to our SCADA. So we brought them out, did a trial run. So we took them over to Water Plant 2, which has a properly located mag meter, and compared them. The mag meter, which has recently been tested, calibrated, there was only like a 1% difference between the two, real time there. So then we went back to Water Plant 1, the mag meter that we're going off of. If you know anything about, they like to work under a full pipe circumstance, this doesn't. And it's a vertical drop, too, as it drops down in. So it's the readings are inerrant. So the flow meter at the plant would read like 465 gallons per minute. The strap-on test that we did, it was more like 320. So even the water metering going into the clear well is not accurate, and then it's kind of guesswork on what is really leaving the plant. So for reporting purposes, I think this helps with growth factors, too. As I'm sitting here telling you, I'll tell you, we pump 800,000 gallons a day in water. Well, that's obviously not accurate. We may be closer to the 600,000 gallon range. Thus why my water loss calculation is being thrown off. What's neat to see is in the summer months, like right now, high demand, when the water that is being produced getting dumped into the clear well is being used quicker, our water loss percent is in the 6% and 7% range, respectable. You get into the winter months, we're more like 27%, 25%, because we're only monitoring the water that's going into the clear well and the plant when it operates. Or when we're backwashing, it runs and produces water when it's not needed. So this just provides like a little control point for us.
You need two of these, then?
Yeah. What we have in the high service building, we have two pumps that come off and then combine into a common line. We want to set them up on each discharge side of the pump. It'll go into a control board that'll monitor and totalize the flow, and then we can send it to our SCADA system. So it's definitely a good upgrade. It's also going to help with my reporting purposes with the EPA at the end of the year, so I can actually show our efforts in finding our water loss.
Did we get popped in any way by the EPA?
It came up in our inspection report last time around that we need to be below 11%. And at that time, the calculations going on the hard number, what's billed and what flow meters I have in the system, we at that point were like 25-26%.
That's where it looks like there's water loss.
Yes, when we're really not. So the best part is we get this down to a respectable level. We're below 10%. It's kind of a dead issue, and which is great given the age of our system, you know. So it's just one of those process instead of guessing, because we could deduct off of pump run times and kind of back calculate out, you know, based on the hertz of the pump and say, we estimated 200,000 gallons. We'd rather just put a device in that can do it for us, that can be tested, easy to replace, and seems to be a decent unit
for us. And you talked about original plan of a mag pit, and that was 24.
22, 23 in that range.
Looking in the 12, 13 range.
Yeah, 12,
need,
6.
But do you need two
of them? Or
no, this is the quote for. This
all
is
inclusive?
Everything. Yeah, this is everything.
All inclusive.
This is the two monitoring points, and then the control box, and then the module that we'll send back into the plant building for monitoring.
With these being new equipment, what do you know anybody else has used them? Are they having any success with them? I mean, what my concern would be is they would last. I know the mag meters will last you a very long time.
Oh, they will. They will.
They don't go bad, essentially.
This technology, at least the ultrasonic, it has been around. This strap on outside. This company, it's a company out of Ohio that reps them. They deal a lot with manufacturing process fluids up in the manufacturing area, Ohio, Michigan. There are some municipalities. He mentioned we would be one of the first ones in Central Ohio to use their product. So.
I'm a little bit nervous about that. What's the recalibration on these? How often do they come down? And
they could do it once a year, just like a mag meter, and it's a cost of like $35 service trip. And with the only thing that can really go wrong with these, you know, of course, the control board, but we're going to have that hooked up to GFI, you know, UPS type of equipment. The straps that go around, you could have an issue where those would fail, but we could get one ordered in a week and back up and running. There's a 2-year warranty on the product, barring electric strike.
Yeah.
It provides some comfort, at least it's a cheaper
alternative. I didn't see what the total was on it. What
$12,600. And 2,000 of that is communication equipment to get it back to the SCADA point. So we can totalize it there, feed it in with all our other data.
$10,000
Ron, yeah, it's for it, two of them. No matter how I do it, it still needs council authorization.
No, I'm worried what I'm saying. It is that
how much is
to replace it?
Yeah.
Oh. Say it goes bad. Say it's a piece of junk, and you've got to replace it in 2 years. Still half the cost. Yeah. One of them would be a quarter of the cost.
And I don't know that necessarily I'm looking for anything out of this. I just knew we had the time and we were going to be together.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it would at least behoove us to hear what he had to say.
Wanted to throw it out there.
So economically, it's not benefiting the system economically. This is just a mere reporting issue.
Yes. It's for us instead of calculated guesswork, just so that we have that. And plus, I won't lie, it's the one last cog in the process to make sure I can do the proper water loss audit calculations and say, this is exactly, because right now, I can estimate and get down below the number, but what are you going on? Well, I'm going off hour readings, I'm going off of Hertz, and so at least I would have something from a reportable standpoint.
Budget-wise, Nate, I mean, is there room to do this? I mean, are you guys comfortable you're not giving something else up to do this? Because the reason why is something that's going to benefit the system, something that's going to benefit it economically, rather than just report. Now, I know reporting is very important.
Oh, yeah.
But on the list of three things, I put that as third.
I would agree.
No, I'm with you. And part of it, too, I did kind of take my sweet time through the year to kind of look at this because, I didn't really want to spend the $20,000+, let alone having to run electric out to it. And I'm like, there's got to be a better way. So we came to this. I've got it's called my water distribution system improvement fund, and of which we take capital money out of there for meter inventory replacement, and I'm kind of lumping that in with our normal meter swap out.
Finding out from another municipality what kind of luck they've had with these.
Sure,
I could
be happy to. Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Been around for a couple of years just
I can do that.
Make sure they're still really happy with them, because I can tell you there's things that you buy that are new that you wish you had.
Right? Absolutely, I'll do that.
Worked out the same way.
I sure will. I sure will.
I would agree 100%.
These magnetic, they don't go bad. They're 100%.
Not generally, If they take an electric strike, that's about it.
I guess that's what we have to consider is, I know the mag, and I don't know much about this stuff, but I know the mag is $10,000 more than this, but is that $10,000 well spent?
The meter itself would be closer to $12,000 to buy the 8-inch meter.
Okay.
That's just to purchase that. Then
all the other costs involve the same.
Then the excavation, digging down to the line, putting in some type of accessible vault. We don't just want to put in a manhole, and then getting electric to it, and then the communication, everything back to the building. So a portion of that, that's only the actual cost. And it would be great if we had the proper application in the building, too. We would swap it out there, but it's a gravity drop, and it's the only point that we can get it in. And even at that point, there's a horizontal spot we could do it, but you're still just checking what's going to the clear well, not what's really leaving the plant.
And it's probably not a full pipe.
Well, and at that point, and it's just a bad application. It was a good idea. I think that was a part of the 98-99 upgrade.
Current equipment is.
Yeah, it was better than nothing, but not painting a realistic picture. So, yeah, I'd be happy. I'll check with the company, who else is using it, and approval. See how happy they are with it. The rep company, it's Flexim, FLEXIM, and then the company that reps it is Charlton Systems.
Siemens Ultrasonic, but they're over open.
Yes.
Yeah.
Open channel is what we use at the wastewater plant. We have those there and don't have any. But it's basically a strapping system. So instead of like your traditional mag meter, you're using these two units and they mount another strap on the bottom. It's still sending ultrasonic through, and it works really well on clean water. Dirty water or wastewater, these are not the ones you want. So I'll get some info.
Just out of curiosity, does a mag system work just on a straight, like, impeller
No.
Propeller?
It's basically you have an enclosed magnetic system that picks up the movement of water through a specific spool. Okay. Now, old turbine meters would, and they would have a propeller.
That's what I was thinking. The other ones I had seen were actually turbine meters.
Yeah, those work great.
Yeah, that was my... All right, I think that's all I really.
Yeah, we have some info to gather, and
yeah, I do have one thing that was brought up to me by, I don't know, you call them a crazy or whatever. What happens to our systems, our water systems?
What happens to them?
What happens? Let me finish the whole thing.
Okay.
What happens to our
I don't know.
Water system if we were to have a magnetic storm? What do they call them, DPMs or whatever?
Dirty bomb?
Yeah.
We would be in the same boat with a lot of people. If the electric drops out, hopefully your generator is not damaged.
But it would get wired.
If our generator is damaged, we're cooked, just like everybody else would be.
Have you ever thought, or has there been any directives from the EPA or anything?
Not that I've seen yet.
I know, you know, if we have a generator,
for backups,
there,
you're saying?
There are simple systems that you can make to back up a generator.
Well, and
the equipment that gets burnt can be stored in a proper device that won't allow those fields to get to them, and then you could get back online.
Well, I would that would be a good one because everything now is either PLC-based, electronically controlled. You have very little relay and hard switches like you used to.
Infrastructure in the whole nation.
Well,
it
would be a challenge. I wouldn't lie about that.
But there was
I don't care. I'm going to have water at my house. So.
Well, if it all shuts down, we'll have water in clear wells and towers, and we can dish it out that way until we're out.
Okay, and nothing else appearing?
Motion to adjourn.
Kathy, get it.
Fox?
Yep.
Walter?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.